added your own specific slide to this presentation. I'm going to go through these slowly. So basically, throughout the nation, right now I'm working with churches in Atlanta, Northern California, York, Vermont, Ohio, Michigan, and Minnesota. So this is a national story. Churches are reevaluating. The major thing that I hear, and I said this a little bit last time, is we want more people, and those people will support us with more money. And I'm like, yeah. You heard me say this, if the 50s ever come back to the U.S., Protestant churches are ready for that. So what we're finding throughout COVID and emerging from COVID, I'm actually part of a group out of Harvard Seminary that's working on some of the findings, is that the churches that are thriving are the churches that are thinking out of the box and out of the building. So I'm going to talk with you about some of the options that most of the churches that I'm working with have, not all. And I want to talk to you a little bit about how some of the churches have managed this. So this is the scenario we were just talking about. We want to stay as we always have. We can stabilize, we can expand our programs, recruit younger members, and grow. And just very gently, does anyone know what the definition of insanity is? Right? So, the churches that have chosen this have found very quickly that they need to look at something else, that this really is not going to work. When I was a kid, when you moved to town, you went right to the phone book, you looked up where the nearest whatever church was, your denomination, and you started going. When I was a young minister, people would come to go to churches to have social connections. It's not the case anymore. So this is the other thing. People tend to think in binaries. We can either this or this. So what's the natural to doing it exactly the same? Don't do anything, right? So this is an option. This is called a legacy option. People sell the property in the building. They take the money, they donate it, and everyone who is in the congregation kind of goes their own way. And the donations can go to like-minded organizations. Not many churches choose this, because usually there's a connection that the people feel that I worship together for so many years. So they usually gravitate towards others. However, what we're finding in northern New England, particularly up where I live, is that there aren't the members. So there may be five people worshiping in this huge building with a big endowment, and they have to make the difficult decision to sell the building and find some way for that money to do the best it can, and they do disperse or go to the same church together. This one, this is an interesting one to find to have churches navigate. So they do sell. They hang on to the financial resources, and they begin to find another place. It's kind of like cell churches, the way churches began in the nation to begin with. You worship in a high school cafeteria or auditorium, or you are somewhere else in another church, a bigger church's building. Like one church I work with in Massachusetts actually had three separate congregations worshiping in it at various times during the week. And in some cases, the churches I work with choose to be one of those in somebody else's building. So this is another one. Stop me if you have questions on any of these. Say it again.
We need to finish all the options.
Yes, there are many. So some churches sell, and then they lease back space. They don't need the building they're in. It's way too big, and they want somebody else to have the routine maintenance and the care of the property, but they still want to be able to worship there. So they lease back space, and they're sure then that when they sell to like-minded organizations, partnerships that share their values. And some I've worked with even set up like a consortium. So some choose to keep and then still do that second one, so it's inverted. They're still in charge of the property. They're still managing the building and the land and the property. But what they're doing is they're still bringing in mutually beneficial partnerships, so people who have like-minded values. And those missions and ministries take place out of there, and the church keeps a small portion of the building, although it maintains all the responsibility for the building, and it learns how to be a benevolent landlord. Now, there's this thing in nonprofits, and churches have to be very careful about what they call that if they don't want to get in trouble with the IRS. So you'll need to, if you were to choose this, and you're not here, you would need some legal advice about how to do that well. And there is a national organization that I work with that helps churches figure out how to do this. This is one that takes some work. This can take 4 to 5 years to find a congregation that is willing to consolidate. This work is actually the work that got me on the national news of the UCC, because it so often doesn't work. And I was able to help 2 churches in Connecticut actually do this well. And now, next May 5th, 2 churches in Mass will be celebrating, calling their first minister together as a new church. So consolidating, looking around. Most often it's churches of the same denominational background, but not always. I'm working with 2 churches in Michigan that are UCC Presbyterian that are talking about joining forces, I'll put it that way. In Canada, they call this amalgamating. I was a part of a 5-parish amalgamation just outside of Charlottetown. They all sold their buildings, moved in together, and oh my goodness, United Church of Canada is big anyways, but this place is hopping. So that's another option. This is the one I think I'm experiencing with you, which is kind of fun. This is you got your whole new slide. So Peter asked me just before we started, how, if you look around at us, how does this stack up with an age group of the other churches that you work with? And I took a minute and I said, well, you're probably a little bit older, average. However, the energy that is here puts some of those bigger, younger churches to shame. It has been really amazing to me to see and feel the energy that you have. And actually, that's your double down. So back to where I started. The churches that are growing and thriving are the churches that are thinking outside of the box and outside of the building. They're doing community outreach. They're asking questions like, where are the gaps? Where are the gaps in terms of what people need and what they're getting? And how do we step in and fill those gaps? I'll remind you, and so forgive me, you may remember some of this, you may not. We have at least 6 generations of what we would have considered church joiners who never will. Right? That's a lot of generations, folks. And they will give you 150% of everything they have, money, time, resources, investment, if they can come alongside and participate in a program or an initiative that they believe will make a difference, a positive difference in the world for that duration. The churches that are thriving and growing are not growing because they're getting traditional members. They're growing because people are coming alongside and considering that their church, with all the things you're used to thinking about with membership. So it's kind of changing some of the definitions that limit us right now and taking a look at what it means to join in. Now, a lot of these six generations, they want measurable outcomes. So the minister who came up to me from Thetford, Vermont, and said, I can't get anyone to agree to be a moderator. And my answer was, why would they? It's a life sentence around here. That's not going to work for any of these people, right? So we have to figure out how to make things collaborative, fun, exciting, measurably important, right? And new. You are really well positioned to do that. So the other option, along with consolidate, or is collaborate. And collaborate would mean this, again, I'm thinking of these churches in Connecticut. They had two huge campuses about a mile and a half from each other. So the big thing, I remember my dad, this is a church my mom and dad used to go to. And when I told him what I was working with, he goes, which building are they going to keep? I'm like, we are not starting with that question, Father dear. There's a lot of below the green line is what it's called work that needs to be done in terms of taking a look at culture, governance, relationship, decision making, mission, worship, you know, all those things. That all has to be done first. What they did was make the brave decision to keep both campuses for 2 years and see what happened. Guess what? They are both hopping. So they switch worship back and forth. What they don't switch back and forth is that each one of them is dedicated to a certain number of programs that are supporting the community in various ways, and they're known for it. And they're getting grants from the Hartford Foundation for it. So while I was working with them, we were able to get them a $20,000 grant to support these things, right? Takes some pressure off. So keeping in mind, it may, some churches choose to be a satellite. So I'm thinking one of the considerations of another church more towards Boston. There were two UCC churches in the same community, and they were talking about being one being a community satellite, the other one being the main worship space, so actually designating them as kind of a sister church or a satellite church to the larger one, because this church was such an anchor in the neighborhood where it was located. Make sense? Another country heard from. All right.
Combinations.
Yeah.
Consolidate.
Yep.
Either two boards of everything.
So the consolidation, yes, as they go through their first year and until they call a first designated term, what they do is make one big board of each. And here's how they do that. When we're doing the below the green line work, we have people from all those various committees or boards meeting in their own groups and talking about what are the things that are indispensable. So to follow up, so during COVID, what we learned is some things were traditional, but they weren't essential. So what these groups are talking about is what is essential for us in our culture. And once those are agreed upon and you've developed the same page, then when you go into the first unified undertaking, you've already got the board or committee that's going to be working that, because they've had those conversations and they've ironed that out. The mission statement that came out of the one in Connecticut still moves me to tears. It was an amazing piece of work. Does that help? Yeah. And that's different than collaborating. There are some, I forgot the Southwest. There are six churches in the Southwest that chair a minister.
Six.
I got your attention. Yeah, six. Six churches in the Southwest that chair a minister. They're in a fairly large geographic region. The minister stays at each church in two-week rotations. The churches where the minister is not zoom in on a Sunday morning for worship, and then they go about their church week during the week. When it's their 2 weeks term, that will happen as well. So that way the churches are maintaining their culture, their connections. They have pastoral leadership on a continual basis. They have emergency attention every 2 weeks. And what we've done is train pastoral care teams in each one of the locations, so there are lay people who are going out and doing the pastoral work in between. Very innovative. And it's working really well. That's a collaboration story. So these, and I didn't put collaboration here, so look at all the options, right? And none of them is the right one for every church. It just isn't. Some are more viable than others. Some are absolutely against that church's culture. They won't even consider it. It doesn't matter how much sense it might make. And some, as I said earlier, start at one place and very quickly realize there's another one they want to take a look at that might work better for them. There are some national organizations that can come alongside and support around what's called design charrettes and use of building space and leases and all the agreements that need to be made along with that. And I'm actually working with a church on Fisher's Island where we're doing some of that. So these are one short of all the things that I've done so far with various churches. Questions? Are your heads spinning? You're not ready to make a decision yet. I just want you to know that, oh my goodness, and the one we've really started on is that G. Did you want to say something, Christina? Well, there's a question back here.
My question is, do we know how the other two UTC churches in our town are doing? First Church in Wacoit, and why aren't we all working together?
There you go.
Wacoit is doing really well. You know, they full sanctuary, especially when they have events. They're packed. They've had like, I don't know, four or five events lately, and it's standing room only sometimes. First Church is struggling. They have a big endowment, but they are struggling. We are very different than First Church, is my understanding. But Wacoit and I have had some discussions at the beginning of the pandemic. But when the pandemic started to lift, they started getting more attendance. But all of them have very different personalities. So,
however, that's not a deal breaker.
Right.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I'm not saying, I think everyone here is familiar with how different the cultures are of the three different churches, but it's more working together.
Collaboration.
So if something does have to shrink here,
mm-hmm.
or disappear, where do you go?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in choir. So as an mm-hmm. example, I come to church for choir. And if the choir and music director disappears from here,
mm-hmm.
then I'm probably going to be spending a lot of time wherever I can go sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us would love to be able to maintain the three churches, but can we share some of the people and share some of the, you know, would it be a bad thing if every once in a while I go to First Church or the court and then the rest of the time come here?
One of the ideas is that I've done with some churches, it's kind of fun, but you've got to be light of spirit, is progressive worship. So let's say during Lent, you have worship, but the themes vary per church. So when you get there, the Lenten story is also unfolding. It means lectionary, it means cooperation, it means collaboration on preparing the worship space, and it's very powerful. And then of course, you know, as you go back around, I served two churches in Connecticut that were an hour apart at their midpoint, and I lived in the middle. So it meant going half hour in one direction or a half hour in another, and once a year on annual meeting, I said the opening prayer at one church, drove really quickly around and said the closing prayer at the other church, because they were willing to slide on high holy days, right? I could go back and forth for Monday, Thursday, or Easter, but not for the annual meeting. I had to be present for that. So again, different cultures.
It would be interesting to, you know, have more of these sort of case studies or stories to look at,
mm-hmm.
and how they worked it out. I mean, we're hearing a little bit about it now,
mm-hmm.
but especially in the scenarios that we
are most likely to take a look at.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the biggest thing I can say to you, particularly in terms of what was just raised, is to get a hold of Margaret Wheatley's work and Steve Zweiback. So understand, you cannot do this by yourself, because what happens is inevitably there turns into kind of like a power struggle. Whose way is going to win? So what I did was bring in coaches I had trained, and they worked with the individual groups. And it went really well, because they could absorb, ask the questions, and the others could answer it, hear each other without feeling threatened.
Well, I could see that definitely being, you know, a little competition.
Yeah. Well, and it's scary.
Yeah.
And what's the first thing you think of when somebody says, we're moving?
Yeah.
How did you know?
What's the first thing you think of? What are the things I'm going to take? Right? What are mine? How are we going to, like, when you talk to couples that are blending a family and one moves into the other's house. That could be a real negotiation going on there, right? So when you think about collaboration is easier for churches. They keep their own culture, blah, blah, blah. They're joint missions and ministries. You talk about consolidation, you're right back to my father's first question. Who's going to keep the building? Dad. So this is tender work. I worked with two churches in northern Vermont for a completely different reason, but when I walked in to work with them, people would introduce themselves to me and say, I'm from North Church, or I'm from South Church. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm at United Community Church, right? Wrong. They had made a decision about which building they were going to worship in. They'd even combined finances, but they had never created a same culture. Even to each other, they were very aware of what church they came from. It wasn't until they called a joint minister who had no previous history with either church that they were able to turn that around and grow, right? Because there wasn't the turf. You didn't have to decide which church you were going to join or affiliate with. They were able to grow, and they now have quite a full sanctuary. I've been back up. It's fun to see. And this is in what's called in Vermont the Northeast Kingdom. So there aren't a lot of bodies. There's a lot of spirit. And this church is growing. We have something in the UCC that our younger people are looking for. In my vernacular, we call it SBNR. Spiritual but not religious. And communities are made up of one community I'm working with in Michigan. They have 45% of the youth, young families around them are unchurched, and they fall in that category, and they are looking for exactly what the churches have to offer. This does not do you any good to be the best kept secret in town. Well, I've had churches tell me that very proudly that's what they are. That is not in your best interest. So getting the word out, getting yourselves out, getting the doors open, getting partner organizations in, and you've actually been doing some of that, so we'll hear about that in a moment. So when we begin to take a look at discernment, which is really what this is about, discerning a path. We take a look at things, initiatives that can be done in the near term, depending on what way. So for you, you've been doing some innovative near-term stuff. You'll hear about in just a minute. You've got this midterm, whatever the thing is that you are discerned, you discern that God is calling you to do and be in the world. There's going to be some time where things get muddy. In change theory, we begin with endings. Right? You begin with endings. Something's ending. Then things get kind of murky with all the possibilities. Until, in discernment, a pathway opens. And when it's the right one, it has been my experience that things fall into place in a way that make it very clear that this way has been blessed. Unless you're trying to sell a church in Massachusetts, then the Attorney General weighs in. So we'll talk. Okay. And then there are the long-term things, the figuring out how once you've determined it. Yeah, the Attorney General has to sign off on that, and they make it very difficult. So here are some things that have been going on behind the scenes. You're on it, Kay.
What?
Oh.
Get your thing.
Sorry.
Yeah. So these are some of the things. Remember I said double down and dig in and get the word out and outreach and think innovation. So the leadership team has been doing that. And Kay wants to say a little something about
wait for it, wait for it.
Wait for it, wait for it.
Drum roll. Let's go this way and then turn.
Yeah, turn the other way.
Nope.
Go on. Oh, I see what you're doing.
Oh.
Well, you ready?
Yeah.
This is going out for 30 days. Ta-dum.
Oh. Out on the front of your church. The reason it has to be out for 30 days and come in for one before it goes out for the next 30 is that you're in a historic district, and the rule is you can't have a sign out for more than 30 days. So we have, this is one banner. We have some other banners that will go between the columns that will say other things. This is yours. This is about you. The others will be about some of the initiatives that you believe in and are engaging
in. This is
in.
Our motto that we came up with. Originally I had said small church, big heart. Christina came up with little church. Faith came up with the heart. And this is us in this heart. You are the heart of this church.
So that will be out tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. We'll figure out how to do
it.
Oh, well, it's weatherproof, okay?
I thought.
Got it. I got it. Maybe it'll be out next Sunday.
We'll get out tomorrow.
And the other thing, another tangible thing for you all to hold that has been developed, and we're going to ask you to be ambassadors with these.
I'm from the South.
Drum roll.
Okay,
we're going to pass them around for people to look at.
Beautiful bookmarks that we've come up with, two different sayings.
So
you are gonna be the worker bees.
I want to pay tribute to Kay's niece who printed these in a week.
Yes.
We just chose the primary designs about 10 days ago, and she just took and ran with it.
And what do you want us to do with them?
Well, I'll tell you that in a minute. First, we want you to enjoy them. There are two different sayings, and can you take one and pass it around? I promise you there are plenty. They're bookmarks.
What we would like for you to do is you're going to be our soldiers, our Christian soldiers.
Yes.
I want you to take 5 to 10 bookmarks
And I want you to send them to your relatives, your friends, whatever. And we love to read. Everybody does. I went to the hospital the other day, and I bring a book, and the nurses go, oh, what are you reading? What are you reading? And I would have loved to have had some of these at that point and pass them out. Put them in an envelope, a business envelope, and send them to far away.
Their business side.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you'll get excited about this. And I think they're great to pass out and keep. And we're also going to put them in the pews so that you can mark the hymns.
At the thrift shop.
At the thrift shop, everything.
There you go.
Libraries. See, you're already working for us.
You know? Stick them in all the books and not tell them.
Thank you.
You can also go with some of the Bibles. You can stick them in our Bible. So people come visit or that.
So we want to get them out of the church.
Okay, so one of them says, a book is a gift you can open again and again. And the other one says, a book is a dream that you hold in your hands. And we have two other designs. Right? So there are two other designs. Each one of them on the back has a little church big heart, and it has the address of the church and the phone number. And the URL. Chris, no, phone number.
Christina's friend, Ken, came up with working the design. It helped immensely. We got it put together, and then with my niece's help, boom, and they were done. I mean,
awesome.
Great.
Please bring her our profound thanks.
Yes.
Right. Enjoy. If you've got one design, please take some of the other as well. And I heard to put these at the library. I would also suggest you put them at the Chamber of Commerce and find realtors that would be willing to offer these to people when they're showing them homes.
For your own self.
Yeah, well, you can do that too. there'll be some in the front when we get the folders. Isn't it fun?
Yes.
And what a beautiful, beautiful picture of the steeple. Just beautiful. Yes. Yay. So the other thing is, how many people know where the signs, that is the street signs, for this church exist in town? You know where two are? Okay.
Where are they?
Rotary and the coming on to Curly Boulevard and coming down by the railroad track.
One at the beginning of Old Main.
Yeah.
Up over 28A and the other on Phantom.
One is at the Pac-Man Bridge, right? Yeah, does anybody know if there's a third one?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, there are three.
There are three.
Up on the Rotary.
Yep.
It is by when you turn off of 28A onto County Road.
Yeah,
it is right before Compass Real Estate. So we actually have three signs.
And what's the status of updating them?
Somebody has some inside information. So the team designed using the new logo of the UCC, which is a stylized comma. It's just gorgeous. It actually looks also like a wave, a high wave coming off the beach. There's a new sign that's been created for your church that is absolutely beautiful. And we're working with the town government now to negotiate where those signs will be placed. This is not as bad as it looks. No. If you take a look at where they're suggesting for you to take a look at, they're all the ones we already named.
Well,
we'll
see.
Breathe.
It's been a process and a half. I mean, they've done everything and to make us work hard for this. The signs were originally put in
here.
Is that all?
I'll trade and then I'll
put it. Okay. The original signs were not legal. We don't know how it happened, but they were attached to a stop sign in two places, and the town didn't like that for some reason. Anyway, we've gotten beautiful new signs designed, and I'm hoping that we can, with some help, we can navigate the last thing. I thought they were going to be approved the 11th. We're going to meet with the selectmen. And then I get this the other day saying, no, you've got to do more to make these work.
It's not as bad as it's
annoying. I don't know. Well, you go with me.
Okay.
It's a long, I'll have to come in by online. if worse comes to worse, and you're dealing with a stick in the mud, the UCC has a woman of counsel who can be quite assertive. She serves the entire denomination, and I myself would not want to go up against Heather Kimmel, just saying. So if she needs to make a phone call, I'm sure she will. Say it again.
In her sweetest tone.
In her sweetest tone. The other thing is, I don't know if you've noticed, but there have been some changes in the worship space.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Right? And so one of the things to begin to work with, and actually I learned this within about 6 months of leaving seminary. I went to Harvard Divinity School. My first church was in Bethel. It's 2 hours drive. My first day off, I drove down to the seminary and stopped the first professor I could find and demanded to know why we were not taught liturgical seasons, liturgical colors, all the sensate things that are a part of worship that are so important to at least a quarter of our population when you think about neurolinguistic programming. The person I happened to nab was Jane Smith. She later became the dean of ILIF Seminary. But when she came back to help out at Harvard, she had a faculty member go on sabbatical and had me come in and teach all the things that I didn't get in seminary that we need. So as we begin to work with some of the more innovative opportunities for worship, there'll be changes in color, there'll be opportunities for some sensate things, and Christina is really quite good at this game, as my kids would say. So get ready. Get ready to be intrigued. Ask questions.
I have the sign here, the street sign.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Here's the street sign. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Come up if you want. We can't get it much bigger. But you can see, and you can see actually how it will look when it's in position. Right? This is with the way it looks now. And look at how clear.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Really exciting. I'm sorry, let me get out of the way. Go ahead. Do it again, Christina, if you can zoom it, and then hold them up, or move it up so they can see both signs. There we go. So this is the new one. If you go down to the old one, though, there's a stark contrast. Go ahead, Dan. That's the old one.
Yeah.
It's really hard to read. It's the old symbol for the UCC. It's way too much like a number of other denominations, to be honest. And you can't ever get close enough to know that it isn't one of those other denominations.
Yeah.
But if you go down to the new one, it really, and you are prominent there. The logo will indicate it's UCC, which is great. But the name tells people who to look for this beautiful spirit, right?
And if you'll notice, our name of the church is not on the old sign.
At all. No, the name of the church is not on the old sign at all.
Not on the old sign.
But if you look at the new sign, I defy you to miss that, even when you're driving by, right? So there will be at least three, and what they're suggesting in this, where's Kay? What they're suggesting in this are exactly the places that we talked about to locate the signs, and they're telling you who to contact, and one of them, I think it was number two, you've already done.
Yes.
I would love a round of applause for Kay Clark. She has been amazing. And do not get in this woman's way if she has something in mind. Just do not. Over, under, through. She will get it done. The other thing is, I don't know if you've noticed that a number of people have been taking pictures at events. The pictures are going to be spotlights and roll streaming on your website. Right? So a certain season, another reason to play with the liturgical colors and take pictures is to have those also rotate on the website. Four seasons of the steeple, four seasons of the church. Christina's working with Deb, and I think your friend also too, right?
Ken.
Yeah. To do some modernization and life on the website. Any questions about that? Because Christina's here to answer. You want to say more?
So, this one is working.
Yeah.
So our web designer, we're going to use the same one. We're going to, get some ideas from her. We've already given her some ideas that the leadership team looked at. We looked at other churches around here. We looked at some churches in New York that Peter is familiar with that we really liked. We passed along those designs to the designer, and Deb and I will meet with the designer to tell her what we want, design it, probably move over all the information that is there now, but eventually rewrite some of that information and get it to be a simpler website, easier to navigate, so when you go on your phone, you can see the whole thing instead of it getting chopped up because it's an old website. So it'll be much easier to navigate, brighter pictures, bigger text. There won't be as much text on it. You will have the option to read more with a button instead of seeing all the text. Because some of those pages have a lot of text.
Well, and some of those six generations are not going to be reading all that text.
Right.
They take a look, they find something that's of interest, and if that's their interest, they will go read more. But if you've got it all on the page, they're going to scroll right by.
So we have three generations in our leadership group. Thank you, Faith.
There we go.
So Faith tells us, she's like, they're not going to want to read all that information that you have on it. They just want to scroll through and find what they're interested in and click on it.
So one of the things I suggested at the last meeting, and they went ahead and changed the website that I was going to show the team, are like weekly updates, like free spotlights of upcoming events. So people can come and see there's activity going on here and what do they want to participate in. So there'll be other changes coming to a church website near you.
Well, that'll also affect Facebook?
No,
this is just a website. There may be some things that change on Facebook. One of the things that I was, it's difficult to make churches aware of this, but many churches want to show children, which is fine, but you need a signed release and you can never use their name. In today's day and age. Many churches and parents elect to have the kids' pictures taken from the back, so they're not identifiable, but they still don't want names used, in fairness. So you're nut to crack. And I actually wrote this in my notes the last time we met, was you have a nut to crack. Your nut to crack is getting the word out. Christina has been successful in getting a number of events previewed in your local paper, which is awesome and wonderful. What I would like to do is see if we can form a relationship with somebody at the paper who will come to those events, take pictures, and review them for you. So you've got a number of notable events. You had Christmas last year, you had Santa come.
Oh, yeah, photos with Santa.
Then you have the, what's the,
we have the speaker and soups, and those are what have been running in the papers.
Right. And then what's the event, the carnival thing, or that front porch? Or
oh, the Porch Fest with the North Falmouth Village Association.
Yeah. So you have a number of things that go on and will continue to go on because everybody's talking to partnership groups. I want to encourage you to do that more. So then what we need to do, though, is get those things reviewed by people who had a really good time. The other thing I'd like to be able to do is to have you have some testimonials on your website where people can actually hear members of you talking about what brought you here, why have you stayed, what is one vision you have, right? And what does this church mean to you? So people who can click on it can hear from people just like them that this place may do the same thing for them. You with me so far?
Yep.
All right. So these are the questions that I'm asking along with you. Where are we going? The how do we get there? Once we know where we're going, we've got some templates and prototypes of work that's been done in other parts of the nation that can actually lend support. The most important, and the one you'll hear Christina and I talk about tomorrow morning in the Adventures of God's Folk, because God knows you're on one, is where is God in this? The passage that I came to my heart when I thought about you is love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So loving yourselves enough to get the word out so your neighbors can find you, so God's work can happen through you, is the discipleship message we've all received. And I'm honored to be working with you on answering that. So we have a next thing. I'll stop and see if you have any questions about what I've done in this part. Yeah?
I have a question on the bookmarks, maybe distributing it at the Falmouth Library. Is there any kind of, do you foresee any kind of a conflict between the town and church?
Town down?
Yeah,
down. So it's always important to ask. You can't just leave them there.
But go to the director's office and approve.
Right, exactly. Yeah. There may even be a board, the Chamber of Commerce. Realtors are a little bit more their own agents, which is one of the reasons I suggest that. I don't know how many of you know Asylum Street Church in Hartford, Connecticut, but they have every realtor in the area. I found one of their brochures in a house I was looking at in Granby. Son of a gun, this is advertising. So ask, really ask. And then you're
the
right.
The Falmouth Chamber of Commerce is right there.
Yeah, too. Do a blitz, right? And then there'll be some holders out here. So if you run out and you've got another birthday coming up or you're giving somebody a book, they'll be available to you, for you to take. I don't know what sequencing we're doing on the other two designs. I just know they're equally fun. And so watch for those. Thank you for asking that. Yeah, it's always good to ask. And you've got your own thrift shop, which has a lot of traffic. So I would have those available. Yeah.
Yeah, put them all in there.
Yeah. Not all of them. There you go. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Any questions? If you want, and understand, I filled in a lot of information, but if you want those scenarios, A through G, and I'll make H, which is the collaboration. If you want those for discussion, let me know. Christina is recording this on her phone because a number of people had family obligations this weekend, and we thought it would be important for them also to hear what you've heard rather than you be burdened with trying to translate. So, but you're also free to talk back. All right. So there is a second part to this. And it kind of picks up from where I ended. God. When churches begin to do the introspective work this hard work of discernment, one of the things I ask them to do is to articulate their why. Why do they exist? Why? What is it that God is calling them uniquely to do and be where they are planted? And how do they feel that? How do they know that? How do they bring that out into the world? What is their why? Simon Sinek says, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. Right? People don't engage with what you do, they engage with why you do it. When they hear your why, when they understand why, they find a place in their own heart that can say that great big yes. And suddenly you're having a conversation and a narrative that brings somebody closer to God through you. So I asked Christina to find this recording. This is an outtake. There's a gentleman whose name is Michael Jr., who is a comedian and a very deep human being. And what he began to do was to interrupt his own show and take a moment to have a serious conversation with somebody in the audience. On this particular day, Michael Jr. himself had a very profound moment when he engaged with this gentleman who works at the military school near where he lives. He's the head of the music department, and wait till you hear his voice.
Skills and some talents that folks don't know about that you kind of hold on to. There you go. A couple things I need you to do, like for real. Then you just gonna laugh and then you don't want you to do nothing. That's not how this is, give and take. It's not take and take.
What a different direction.
Yeah. So this is a different version. If you have an opportunity, I've used this in worship services where the entire congregation ends up in tears, feeling the power of where he goes, especially when he sings, but now, right now.
Drinking coffee every day didn't work for me, but I couldn't.
So So what he goes on to talk about in the audience, the version that I'd like, if you want to look it up, it's Michael Jr. Finding Your Why.
Here, Michael Jr. Why. I got it.
You got it. Okay, awesome.
We're going to start where he ends singing.
Got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid.
I'm sorry, Christina, let it go. let it go with the song. Oh, okay. Yeah, let it go.
Oh, sound that same. Because you're walking towards or in your purpose.
There you go.
But it's true. I mean, I got three boys and a girl.
When you speak or are present with your why, it is more impactful because you are walking in your purpose. What we'd like to ask you to do, there are index cards on the tables where you're sitting. There are no less than 6 pencils in each one of the glass jars. We'd like to ask if you would, 3 words, no more than 3, and please try to make them single words. We're gonna build your community word cloud and offer it in worship tomorrow morning. So, 3 words, single words, about your why or your purpose.
As a church.
As a church, right. Your why or your purpose as a church.
Why or purpose as a church.
3 words. Another card. Anybody? Okay.
No, 3 words.
Just 3 words.
Give us an example of what you think.
Faith, love, hope, joy, community, friendship, offering, mission, purpose, God. And a bazillion others I didn't think of. There is no wrong answer. There's your answer. When you can speak and be present through your why, it is much more impactful.
Can
she borrow your bag? Oh. You guys, 3 words? I do. All right, when you've got your 3 words, if you could just hold it up, Christine will come get it. Yeah, I'll explain that in a moment. How many people, oh, wait, I'll wait. Yeah, can you do that, Kim? Is there anybody who has not given their index card yet? Oh, you're still working on it. Okay.
Well, I appreciate that. Really looking at it.
Okay. So I'd like a show of hands. How many people know what a word cloud is? Okay. So what we're going to do is take all your words and enter them individually on an online application that will create an assembly of the words, a beautiful assembly of the words. Words that are most often used will show up bigger. Others will show around that. Every word will be represented. And what it does is it forms an actual visual. It'll be multicolored. It forms an actual visual of what you feel called, why you feel called to be in the world. And it will become our focal point for the work that we do. Some churches, and Kay now knows how, have created a banner for themselves out of the word cloud. And it also hangs out in front. So you've got those beautiful pillars. Not that I'm making any suggestions. So tomorrow, based on the words that we've gotten, Christy and I tonight are going to build a word cloud. And tomorrow you're going to get to see what your composite why is. At this moment in time, and representing the people who are here, we will have an opportunity perhaps to expand that at another point in time. So Christina asked me to speak to the near term, the midterm, and we are not sure what the long term will be for you, but we'll speak to the near term. Near term, we're going to complete all of these projects that we've highlighted for you. We will get those signs up. We will. And what I'm going to begin doing is talking with leadership in Falmouth and around Falmouth to find out how are you known? And the second, how are you known?
That will be my answer.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. Maybe they'll come find out, right? And then the other thing is, what are some of the leaders of the communities, what's their perception about what the greatest needs are? Right, one church I work with, again, in the Southwest, people went out with clipboards and asked the neighborhood around the church, where were they hurting? Or where were their greatest needs? And then built programs in the church that met those needs, complete with raised bed gardens out front, et cetera and so forth. So this is that version of that. You can ask these questions too. You can ask of your friends, when you think of this church, what do you think? There's no wrong answer. And it's very enlightening. I had one church say to me, oh, we're the white church on the hill. And I said, that's not good. You know, you want to be accessible. What's going on in your white church? Or do you just sit on the hill? You know, so begin to take a look at how you're known. I know many people know the thrift shop, right? I would anticipate you're going to get many of those answers. I would like you to ask what else until they run out of answers. When somebody gives you the same answer twice, they kind of, but I want you to keep asking what else. Begin to learn about yourself. One other thing we're likely to do midterm or near term is to ask you to create a Bring a Friend Sunday. You know, somebody you know who's alone or, you know, SBNR. I kind of planted a seed about having bread machines going back here, so there's a smell of fresh baked bread when you're having a friendship Sunday, breaking bread together. And the other thing that's going on, like right now, is Christina and a number of the leadership team are reaching out to community organizations in the area to say, let's talk about what we can do together. Right back to some of the questions that were asked earlier. In the midterm, as you begin to learn these things about yourselves, we're going to begin asking some questions of you. Where do you see yourselves in 3 to 5 years? Where do you see yourselves in 3 to 5 years, and what is it going to take to get there? We have some study to do first. The near-term work is going to tell us what your options are, where the needs are. It's going to give you an opportunity to think about what kinds of programs can you develop or invite in that will actually fulfill your mission as you're identifying it in that word cloud. Is this making sense? So near-term is study, self-study and study around. Midterm will be built on that. Come back and say, here's what we're being told. Here are the needs. Meanwhile, I have a couple of those partnerships that I was talking about that I'm going to explore. I'm actually spending the day on the 13th with one of the national offices that I want to talk to about this before I talk to you about this, just to see if it's possible. And then, you know, based on what you turn out as you go along, your long-term will identify itself. Does that make sense? It will unfold. Sorry? Yeah. It makes sense, right? That's the way God works. I don't want to give away the tomorrow, so I almost started to say one of the stories, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, so late breaking news. Has it already been advertised? No. Okay, so you talk about it.
Hi. We're going to be running some tech workshops for people to learn how to navigate our growing tech world, from general things like computer skills, FaceTiming your nieces, nephews, grandkids, friends, what are tabs, how to download apps, to more complex things like how to have fun with the internet, read online, get streaming services, and then we'll cover some important things like how to safely kind of be a part of our growing tech-dominated world. So that will be happening on Sundays after worship soon.
I'm signing
so,
up.
Specifically, iPhones or Android, you know, phones, pads, tablets, desktops, you're on your own. No, they're convertible skills, or I think we are going to allow for it to be hybrid. If you zoom in and you're in front of your desktop, some of it you'll be able to ask some questions too. Faith is generously donating her time and her knowledge to help people really begin to get familiar with navigating technology. And a couple of the things she mentioned when we were in the meeting was kind of like, I'll be there. It's not just beginner stuff. There is beginner stuff. and that's meant to create comfort. But there's also some things that are really kind of intriguing. So, coming to a church near you, that'll be after worship on Sundays, starting
after Easter.
Says the pastor. Okay, after Easter.
Yeah.
Questions? Right? I would like to see that open to the community. Could you please talk to your friends about this? Yeah, go ahead.
My question was, is it open to the community?
Okay, thank you. So let me stay with this. Yes, and? You remember all those generations of people that aren't traditional members? The way they come to be involved is by being asked to be involved. That is the single biggest indicator in all the surveys that are being done right now for SBNRs. I will never forget driving up the hill. This is my first church. This woman had been trying to get her husband to join the church for 20 years. So she said, you come, you give it a try. So we drove up. He was a contractor. He was working on a house. And I got out of the car, and we were chit-chatting. And I said, Bruce, have you ever thought about joining the church? Why, yes, he said, I'd like to. She was so upset. She said, why have you never joined before? He said, no one asked me. No one asked me.
I'd like to follow up with a statistic on that. 91% of the people that walk through our doors have been personally asked to do so.
Bring a friend.
Bring a friend.
So for this, like for the tech workshop, yes. For anything you can think of that's going on here, that's an initiative. The speaker series. Some of the other things that will be done. And when I say bring a friend Sunday, I mean it. Bring someone along on a, you know, and explain to them. The other thing you can do, once you learn all the tech stuff, is use Facebook and what is it, X now? To highlight the things that touch you in a worship service. On my way to sing, love the choir, the hymn we're singing, the anthem we're singing, whatever. People will see that, right? Afterwards, I had one guy post, God is like a raindrop, and then he went on, this is Lyle Brown out of Council of Churches in Hartford. He had followers just talking about, and like this, and this is how it unfolded. Like, they're already engaging with the ministry through reading it, and they're intrigued. So don't underestimate the power of your own heart, speaking your heart, telling your story. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to follow up with this. I have friends who will not come to the service, but they might want to come.
Exactly.
So it's okay to say, hey, the service will end at around 11. If you want to come to this, come at 11 and you can have some food or 11.
Yeah, and meet some people.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You should feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah. I mean, worship, sitting in worship is not for everyone. Some people have mobility issues or, you know, physical issues. Some people have social anxieties. And cannot do it. But to be able to mingle with people on their own terms or around a focal point that's not them. I have churches where I'll have to say to people, they're like, oh, there's a new person. This is not chum in a piranha tank, people. You know, back off. Give people a chance to, but people get so excited and they're being friendly. Like, I get that. One of the things I suggest you do if you begin to have people come is divide your church into quadrants. Have one person, did you see this? One person per quadrant whose job it is on that given Sunday to kind of scope it around. If there's a new person, to go up, show them how the order of worship is, how to use the hymnal, ask if they'd like to join you in coffee hour, and then go sit in your place, right? So you can be an ambassador for the church without being in their face. Good? I think you're the excitement. Oh, go ahead, Carolee. What?
I just wanted to say something to that. Only because it happened this week,
Oh, okay.
Okay. Outreach has, I don't know if you're all aware of it, instead of giving the $500 that we had to directly to the food pantry, the community gardens are in Bourne are expanding to make this, because they feed the food pantry vegetables and fruits and things like that through the whole summer and fall. So I said to somebody who was on that particular board of that part of it, and I said, Judge, I said, the check is already and it's coming for the food pantry. And he said, I am so glad. He said, you know, he said, all those lobster rolls that we did and everything, and you guys just do so much with that money. And he said, this, I said, yeah, this is part of what we support and everything. And he said, I may never go to church, but I'm telling you, I will support anything you guys do.
Right there. Right there. So listen
for those things and hear what made a difference. It's being able to sit, it's a direct connection. It's a witness to the mission of the church. And it's a willingness to tell the story, your why.
It didn't involve me in a big religious conversation.
Nope.
Saying,
it's what you do. It's your
anything.
Yeah.
It's just, okay, thanks.
It's your why. I believe, any questions? Otherwise, it smells